So I'm watching the Big 12 and the SEC simultaneously, their media days, and Herman, Tom Herman, and I am pulling for Texas. Texas has got to get relevant. It's important for the show. But Herman's acting even weird for him. But catch, before I get to that, his behavior, what's the deal? Give everybody the backstory on this player, former All-American DB, who's coming after Herman on Twitter.
Well, you know, one of the problems that Herman had a year ago was that he just didn't have the locker room fully. And some of that was, you know, I think Herman might have been a little bit too much of the bad cop last year. Like, I think he might have just come in and was a little too hard. And it rubbed some players the wrong way, certainly a lot of the upperclassmen. And so there was this kind of fraction in the locker room last year. You had a lot of guys who I think still would think of themselves as Charlie Strong guys. Most of them were upperclassmen. So there was just this thing in the locker room that existed. Deshaun Elliott is the ultimate Charlie Strong guy. He's dating Charlie Strong's daughter. They've been dating for a while. They may get married. Like, I don't know how that thing works, but they're a couple. And from what I understand, he hosted a pool party. Fourth of July pool party, I think, from what I heard, at Charlie Strong's old house in Austin. And a bunch of UT players are going to come to it. And, you know, there's a bit of a history there. When Deshaun Elliott declared for the draft, he basically went into Tom Herman's office, didn't give him a chance to sell him on the idea of staying. He went in, he left. I mean, he was a Charlie Strong guy. The way this thing kind of was working behind the scenes is apparently the coaches were concerned that that there might be trouble at the party, so they told the guys not to go. That got back to Deshaun Elliott, who then went on to Twitter and kind of set the coaching staff on fire for talking about him. And it's just, you know, it doesn't help Texas in recruiting. I think it's a story that doesn't have to happen. And I think if you're Deshaun Elliott, you don't tweet that. And I think if you're the Texas coaches, you find a way to send your message without saying something that might be interpreted as a slam against one of the players, because that's going to get back to the players, and then you really are relying on the maturity of the players to handle the situation right. I don't know that Deshaun Elliott did, but I also, in fairness to Deshaun Elliott, I don't know what he heard. I don't know what was specifically said about him that might have set him off. And then, you know, like I said, there's a history there that there was a bit of an add-on to this. I just think both sides needed to handle this better. I think it will eventually be a non-story, at least publicly. But I think in recruiting, you know, some coaches will try to use this against Texas, and Texas will have to defend themselves against this charge that they talk about their players. You know, I even saw an Oklahoma player who picked Oklahoma over Texas tweeted yesterday, "This is why I chose Oklahoma over Texas." So it does give Texas's rivals some red meat to work with when they wouldn't have otherwise had this particular red meat to work with.
Watching Herman at the Big 12 meeting, and it's been tweeted a lot, but his answer to the question about, do you have enough elite players, how many do you have? And there was, I counted, there was a 10-second pause. There was some really weird facial expressions. At one point, I thought he was about to get really mad. And then he smiled, totally changed facial expressions, and then answered it. Said, you know, a few, whatever he said. Look, I'm not a psychologist, but he's acting a little weird to me. That's all I'm saying, Catch. What's going on here?
It's actually kind of one of his things. Like, what he enjoyed, let me tell you what was surprising for that in that exchange for me,
right,
was that he didn't have an answer. What Tom Herman often does in press conferences, if he's asked a question, is he will take a moment and pause, and we can all watch him, like, think about it and process it and think his way through whatever it is that he's going to say. So I've seen him do that before. I don't know that I've ever seen him take a 10-second pause. It felt like forever before he answered the question. It was like he just sat there and was thinking, and it portrays weirdly on television because it's almost like we're spying on him trying to formulate a thought. A year ago, he was asked that question, and he had an answer quickly. You know, it was like, I don't even remember what it was. It might have been, I think we've got maybe 8 to 10, and then our goal is to get up to a certain number. So what I really found strange about the situation was that he didn't have an answer. That it wasn't odd that he stopped and took time to think about the question. I think he wants to give off the appearance that he will give thoughtful answers, and that by stopping and taking time to literally think about what he wants to say, it's like an exhibition of he put some thought into that, because we literally watched him think about it. But he thought about it for like 10 seconds and then didn't have an answer. And I thought that there were two questions in the press conference that define the press conference. I thought that my guy Anwar Richardson asked about the play calling, and Herman basically said, I don't know, I don't have to decide today. He kicked the can down the road. And then he was asked weirdly about how many championship players you have in your program right now, and he just didn't have an answer. And I thought, man, you know, there were only about five questions asked after he spent most of the time with his opening statement. Right. It just didn't look like, you know, he was a guy that on Tuesday didn't have all the answers. I mean, I guess that ultimately is kind of the elephant in the room, and it's kind of stating it plainly. But typically you're used to these coaches kind of going into these sessions and they're ready for the questions. I think he was ready for Anwar's with how he was going to answer the play calling question, but to answer with a non-answer and then to kind of do that again a little bit later on in the press conference, it felt like a theme for some. I don't think it's a big deal, but it doesn't speak to him exuding confidence with the team that he's getting ready to play with. Whereas, as a stark contrast, Lincoln Riley was asked about his team, and he said, look, we may have more experience than we've ever had on any team ever at Oklahoma, but this also might be the best team that we've ever had at Oklahoma. Like, he exuded confidence that his team was potentially going to be great. And maybe Tom Herman was burned by doing a little of this last year. It just didn't feel like he didn't talk about his team and his program like one that was getting ready to go on a big run this year.
Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods with us, Bill King Show. The Tim Beck thing, now people, Ohio State fans, Twitter, you know, the Twitter mafia, they were screaming when Texas hired Tim Beck. And then they were also screaming, do not let him call plays. So now we get to the press conference. You going to let Tim Beck call the plays? Or are you going to call the plays? And he kicks the can down the road. Now, as long as he gets it right, it's going to be okay. But what's he thinking of here? What's the weight? I mean, what's camp going to do to that? That's my question.
I mean, this is the complexity of trying to figure out what this Texas team is. Because I think if you look at the defensive side of the ball,
yeah,
you're talking about a team that you could make the case that they have – Texas has the best defensive line, the best linebackers, and the best secondary in the Big 12. They're loaded. You look on the offensive side of the ball, and you're like, okay, they got an incoming senior transfer running back. They've recruited well there. They'll have guys. I think the receiving core is loaded. So then it comes down to this. What do you think about the offensive coordinator? What do you think about the offensive line? What do you think about the quarterback? Those are all three pretty critical areas for a college football team going into any season. Texas has zero answers at any of those right now. We don't really know who's calling plays, but Tim Beck did not have a good year a year ago, and it went beyond simple play calling. It wouldn't be, you know, there was never, you know, Tom Herman does this thing where he claims that he lets his assistant coaches decide reps during games. So there was this constant, like the assistant coaches are sending out players and it doesn't necessarily match the personnel group and the play that's been called. And it was just really weird. And there would be games where a guy would have 80 plays one week and 10 plays the next week. And you couldn't figure any of that stuff out. It never felt like anyone was truly in charge. And that's the coordinator position, and nothing's really changed. Nobody really knows anything about quarterback. Thank God you and I haven't really talked about that yet today. And the offensive line was below average a year ago. They bring in Herb Hand, but the talent is basically the same. So either Herb Hand is a witch and a magician, which he might be. He might be an offensive line witch, in which case maybe that position gets better because Texas needs it to. Everything else I think is capable. Every area that I haven't spoken about, every other position, I think is Big 12 championship potential. Good, but coordinator, O-line, and quarterback, those are that's not the same thing as saying punter. That's not the same thing as saying they're not good at tight end. those are arguably the three most important positions in a college football program. And they are major question marks. And I can't tell you with certainty that they'll go into this season with quarterback play or offensive line play that is top 40, top 50 nationally good. And that's not a very high bar. I can't tell you whether or not they can be at least that good. If they could just get that good, they're going to be an 8-9 win type team. But those areas have to be significantly better in the Big 12. You got to have top 25 national quarterback play to win the Big 12. Because it is a conference where a year ago, Baker Mayfield literally posted the highest quarterback efficiency that I think anybody in college football has ever posted. And four or five of the next top 10 were all Big 12 quarterbacks. So it really is a situation where if you're Texas, you can't just be kind of good there. But kind of good would be a nice start. You got to walk before you can run, but eventually if Texas wants to run, those areas that of concern, they can't just be pretty good. You can get away with that in a lot of other conferences. You just can't get away with being average at those places on offense. Otherwise, you're a 7-win team. And if Tom Herman's team can't get good fast in those areas, then this time next year, you know, we'll probably be talking about Tom Herman entering a critical year three and a bit on the hot seat, because someone did a poll on Orange Bloods, and I don't mean to go on and just, I'll say this real quick. There was an unofficial poll on Orange Bloods a week ago. How many wins do you expect for this season? More than 82% of Texas fans believe that this team is going to win 9 or 10 regular season games. So while Herman might not be exuding confidence yet about this team, its fan base is, and I think that makes the stakes much higher for him going into the season to have answers to questions that he doesn't yet have answers to.
Catch always. Fantastic, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Anytime, my man. Be well. Later.